Greetings once again, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob, and this is the Way of a Pilgrim, the Jesus Prayer Journey, episode 25. And it looks like tomorrow could be our concluding episode. So today and tomorrow, we're coming down the proverbial home stretch of the Way of a Pilgrim. Remember yesterday, he had just left his blind partner at the almshouse in Tobolsk, and then he reflected on his experience and what it had meant to him. He said, "The prayer of the heart delighted me so much that I thought there could be no one happier than me in the whole world. And I could not imagine how there would be any greater or deeper contentment, even in the kingdom of heaven." Now, isn't that what we're all seeking? He said, "I experienced it not only within myself, but outwardly too. Everything appeared wondrous to me. Everything inspired with love and gratitude to God. People, trees, plants, animals, I felt a kinship with them all. And I discovered how each one bore the seal of the name of Jesus Christ." He said, "Sometimes I knew such joy that I felt like a king. And at such consoling moments, I wished that God would grant me to die soon so that I could pour myself out in gratitude at his feet in heaven." And thus we pick up today's episode. "Yet, it became apparent to me that my enjoyment of these experiences was tempered or had been regulated by God's will, because I soon began to experience some sort of anxiety and fear in my heart. I hope this is not another sign of some upcoming disaster or misfortune," I thought. Clouds of thoughts descended upon my mind, and I remembered the words of the blessed John of Carpathos, who said that often the teacher submits to humiliation and suffers misfortune and temptations for those who will benefit from him spiritually. After struggling for a while with such thoughts, I began to pray more earnestly, and the thoughts were banished completely. I was encouraged by this and said to myself, "God's will be done. Anything that Jesus Christ may send my way, I am ready to endure for my wretchedness and arrogance." For even those to whom I had recently disclosed the secret of entering the heart and of interior prayer had been prepared directly by God's hidden guidance before I met them. This thought calmed me, and once again I set off with consolation and with the prayer, feeling ever fuller of joy than before. It rained for about 2 days, and the road had completely turned to mud, so that my legs sank into it, and I was barely able to walk. Thus, I walked through the steppe and did not come across any human habitation for almost 10 miles. At last, toward evening, I came upon a farmhouse right near the road. I was overjoyed, and I thought to myself, "I can ask to spend the night and rest up here, and I'll accept whatever God sends my way tomorrow morning. Perhaps even the weather will be better." As I approached, I saw a drunken old man wearing an army coat and sitting on a mound of earth by the farmhouse. I bowed to him and said, "Would it be possible to ask someone if I could spend the night here?" Who else could let you do that but me? The old man bellowed. I'm in charge here. This is a post office, and I'm the postmaster. Well then, Batushka, will you permit me to spend the night here? Do you have a passport? Let me see some legal proof of who you are. I gave him my passport, and as he held it, he asked, Well, where's your passport? You're holding it, I replied. Oh, well, then, let's go inside the hut. The postmaster put on his glasses, studied the passport, and said, It's a legal document, all right. You can stay the night. I'm a good man, you know. Here, I'll even offer you a welcome drink. I've never had a drink in my entire life, I replied. Well, no matter. In that case, have dinner with us at least. We sat down at the table with him and his cook, a young peasant woman who was herself also a little drunk. They sat me down to eat with them, and they fought with each other throughout the meal. And by the end of the meal, they were fighting seriously. Then the postmaster went off to sleep in the pantry, while the woman began clearing the table, washing the cups and spoons, and cursing the old man. I sat for a while and decided it would be some time before she calmed down. So I said, Matushka, where could I sleep for the night? I'm exhausted from my journey. Here, dear father, I'll make you up a bed. She pulled another bench up to the one near the front window, covered it with a felt blanket, and put a pillow at the end. I lay down and shut my eyes and pretended to sleep. She continued to putter around for a while until at last she had cleaned up. She put out the fire and had started coming over to me when suddenly the entire window in the front corner of the house, the frame, the glass, and all, came showering down with a terrible crash. The entire hut shook. And from just outside the window, there came a sickening groan, shouting, and loud scuffling noises. The peasant woman sprang back in terror and jumped into the middle of the room, where she went crashing down on the floor. I jumped up, half conscious, thinking that the very ground under me had split wide open. Then I saw two coach drivers entering the hut. They carried between them a man so covered with blood that you couldn't even see his face, which frightened me even more. He was a royal courier who had been on his way there for a change of horses. His coach driver had miscalculated the turn into the gates. The carriage pole had knocked out the window, and as there was a ditch in front of the house, the wagon had overturned. The courier was thrown clear, and he deeply gouged his head against a sharp stake in the ground that was propping up the earthen mound that served as a bench. He demanded some water and wine to wash his wound with, and after bathing it with some of the wine, he drank a glass of it himself. Then he shouted, Get the horses! I went over to him and said, Sir, how can you travel when you're in such pain? A royal courier has no time to be sick, he replied, and galloped away. The coach drivers dragged the unconscious peasant woman to the stove in the corner of the room and covered her with a rug. She's only in shock from being so frightened, She'll come out of it, the postmaster said. He then had another drink to ease his hangover and went back to bed, leaving me by myself. Amen.